So over at the seminary, we are very much in the heart of application season. Unlike colleges and other graduate schools where by now people have applied and they've been accepted or not, in the seminary world, it's much, much later. So guys who are coming through, they're just having sort of their entrance interviews now. And I was talking to a guy a couple weeks ago who, before ultimately moving towards applying to seminary, he'd been working as a financial advisor for over 10 years. And he's been very successful at it, worked at some really high-powered firms. As I'm sitting there talking to him, you know in the cartoons, you have a little angel on one shoulder and a devil on the other. So the devil starts whispering in my ear, man, I got to give this guy control of the seminary endowment. You know, I got to put this guy to work. And then I shoot him away because this guy's on a different path. But it was really fruitful to talk with him because something he hadn't really thought about is how much of a parallel there is between what he did for his business career and what really all of us are called to do in the spiritual life. I mean, his career was all about accompanying people through risky situations. And some of those risks were real, and others were just way blown out of proportion because of the fear that his particular client might have had. But there were risks, there was uncertainty. And if he was going to do his job right, he had to be with them. And some people just ran way ahead of their skis in almost a foolhardy way, and he'd try to reel them back in. Others were petrified of taking just one little step into an uncertain future, and he'd try to move them along because they had a goal, they had a desire, right? This guy wasn't working for King Miser. He was working for people who wanted to take care of their families, take care of their parents, think about their future. That's something we're all called to do in one way or another in the Christian spiritual life. I would say in any kind of loving commitment, because we're never going to have certainty. We're always going to have hopes and dreams and longings, and we're always going to have to decide each and every day that we wake up, how are we going to step into the uncertainty that's ahead of us? Will we be paralyzed by fear? Will we be driven by foolhardiness, lack of prudence, sometimes even greed? Will we be driven by anger or resentment or bitterness? And every day we're looking at that situation fresh. When Jesus talks about, I am the vine, you are the branches, I mean, that's a very comforting image, I think, at least it is for me. That's right, Jesus is that vine, God the Father is the vine grower, he's keeping an eye on things. And then we get to this pruning business, right? And that kind of resonates. We just went through Lent not too long ago. If something's dead, if it's dying, if it's not productive, let's prune that away, you know? That's an obviously bad investment. Let's just get rid of that one. But that isn't where Jesus stops. He doesn't just say the Father will prune away what is bad. He says even those branches that give fruit, the Father will prune so that there will be even more fruit on the branches that remain. Now, I'm sure we have lots of gardeners in this room. You know that trick already. You know what it means to look at something that is perfectly healthy and say, no, we have to let that one go too, because there's something even better we're being invited into. Someone who does financial planning knows what that looks like. I dare say any parent who ever lived knows what that looks like. We're blessed today to have some of the children who are going to be baptized in a little bit with us. As part of the baptism rite, the parents will be asked, do you fully understand what you are undertaking? And I hope their answer is no way. But they have the desire. They certainly have the hope. They have every intention of making the right decision, the best decision, not just for their little baby in arms, but for the 5-year-old, the 15-year-old, the 25-year-old. And so maybe just a little spiritual exercise to ask ourselves, you know, where perhaps is there somewhere in our lives where something is really good? It's not bad. But maybe if we're totally honest, we're being prodded or challenged or invited to even let that go so that something else might grow in greater freedom. And only you can answer what that is. But lots of times fear can hold us back, or we might think, well, my gosh, there's no way in the world God could possibly be inviting me in this direction because this thing that I have right now, it's good. But I think you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes good things call us in divergent directions, and you only so many hours in the day. And I find that most of the time, life is not a choice between good and evil. Most of the time, life is a choice between good and a little bit better, and a little bit better, and a little bit better than that. And discernment doesn't mean find the needle in a haystack. Discernment doesn't mean pick that one perfect thing out of all the billions of possibilities. If you do the etymology, discernment literally means cut away what is bad. Don't fixate on getting the one perfect thing. Just think about cut away what is not the most productive. And the beautiful thing about most decisions is that they're not all or nothing. You're not at the edge of the cliff. Most of the time, we can take baby steps. I'm just going to let go of a little bit of time and attention on this thing, and I'm going to reinvest it over here. And then see how it goes. See if that fear was justified. And if it's not, then it's all the easier with more confidence to say, well, I'll take a little bit bigger step here. That's what Christian generosity is all about. It all doesn't have to be on your shoulders. Allow some other people to come in and bear some of that risk as well. A good financial advisor knows that. So I'm excited as this guy comes in and he's with us, the seminary, for the next couple years. I'll let somebody else worry about the endowment, but I think in more than a few ways, as he goes along, he's going to start realizing and the light bulbs will start flashing. What I'm being asked to do now isn't all that different than what I was asked to do before. It's just realizing that good finances are a step on the journey to something even bigger. And that's ultimately where he's being called. That every one of us in this room is being invited into that process. There's lots of good fruit being born in all of our lives. But for some of those decisions, God is saying, I just want you to let that go, because there's something even bigger I'm envisioning. Don't have to throw darts against a board to try and guess what that is. Talk to people you know who love you, who trust you. They'll often have insights, just like a good financial advisor does. But then when you need it, pray for the courage to take that step. And that's why I think Jesus all those years ago was very emphatic about saying, don't be afraid of the pruning. Because ultimately, you can trust the one who is inviting you on that journey.